So, the title of my sermon is About Time. And you know, sometimes when we come into the presence of God, personally, when I come into the presence of God, after being away for quite a while, I kind of hear that voice. I think I hear that voice that says, it's about time you showed up here. Or it's about time you got your act together. Or it's about time you knew what you were doing about that, this or that. And the title of my sermon is, It's About Time. Shall we pray? Amen. Father God, we thank you for this morning, oh God. Lord, even as I speak your word, I pray, Lord, it will come out simple, oh God. It will come out with power, and it will touch and transform lives, oh God. But I pray for a clear voice, oh God, that people would understand even the heart of the matter, even as you are trying to reach out to their hearts, oh God. We give you praise for your spirit that is already here present with us. And we say, be glorified, O God, in the hearts of men, even as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's about time. Now, the dictionary definition of time is, it's a dimension in which events can be ordered from past to present and to the future. It is also the measure of the duration of events and the intervals between them. That's what time is, okay? There's another definition that says, time is what ensures that everything does not happen all at once. I love that one because it simply means we come to church, we say we're going to get to church, service starts at 10, we finish at 12, you can all go for lunch at 1 and go back home to rest at 2, and so on and so forth. Time is what makes sure we don't all decide, okay, we're all going to eat breakfast, or we're all going to go for church service at different times of the day. Time is what sets it apart. And in my culture, I mean, it's quite bad, and I think the Chinese do this sometimes. If you say a party is going to start at 2, some Nigerians would only get there at 3:30. Some Africans will only get there at 3:30. It's just... they say it's cultural, they say it's African time, they say it's Nigerian time, but I think it's just wrong. And I know for Chinese wedding dinners as well, you sometimes would say the wedding dinner starts at 6:30 and people don't start showing up until, well, basically they don't start the dinner until 8, right? Am I right to say that? All the Chinese in the house? And it's just the way people treat time. It's not always firm, it's not always, I mean, there's rubber time, there's flexi time, and all that kind of stuff. But what I'm trying to say here, it's all about time. In the kingdom of God, it's all about time. Amen? Can we just turn to Ecclesiastes, please? Chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Ecclesiastes is after Proverbs, and it's also before Song of Solomon. Please, can you reduce the treble on my mic and increase the bass? Check. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Is everybody there? To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Amen. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, as Christians, sometimes we find it hard to understand what season or time God is taking us through. And we find it very hard to cope with different times and seasons. I mean, there are some times where everything seems to be going very nice, very smooth. Everything seems to be just, oh, like you're in heaven. And there's a time that there's like turmoil left, right, and center. But what does the Bible say? Under heaven, there is a purpose, a time for every purpose under heaven. And you know, just looking through this, even as I was getting this sermon ready, I was looking at different ones, and I'm sure my wife would agree. The one that says in verse 6, the second part, there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. I think I'm still in the time of keeping. There's so much stuff in my house that I've gathered over the years. Oh, my wife, God bless her. I mean, there's things that I've owned for the past 18 years. Textbooks when I was in university or when I was doing my diploma, I still have, just in case I might need them for something. So I'm in that time when I'm just keeping. And I need the time to throw it away. Oh, the first part of verse 6 says, there's a time to gain and a time to lose. A time to gain so much weight, a time to lose it. I pray for that time to come speedily. Amen. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. There's times to sometimes break down and a time to build up. A lot of us go through a time of weeping. And we wonder, God, what are you making me go through this for? You know, as I was reading this, even in verse 3 where it says a time to kill and a time to heal. Sometimes God lets you go through seasons of your life so that you can see the other side of him. You can see a part of him that you never knew before. I mean, example is, how would you know God as your healer if you've never been sick before? How would you personally experience him as your healer if you've never had that time to be ill or to be sick before? He makes you go through that season so that you know without a doubt that he is indeed God. Amen? I mean, likewise, how do you know that he is your provider if you've never gone through lack before? If you've never been wanting for something? How would you be able to speak without a shadow of doubt that God, he is my provider, Jehovah Jireh, my God, my provider, if you've never had a time in your life when you've lacked something? And I believe that's why God says, there's a purpose under heaven. And you know, like Paul said, that he's learned to be abased and to abound. Basically, to suffer lack and not lose his cool. To enjoy plenty and not lose his head. And Paul said that I've learned through all that. I've learned basically to go through tough times and to go through good times. I've gone through hard times. I've gone through soft times. And I say to you, anybody who is going through, I mean, I don't know what season in your life you're in. Is it the tough time you're going through or is it the happy times you're going through? Please just pray to God. Ask him to give you the discernment to know what time, to know what season you're going through at this point in your life. Amen? Am I going too fast? Is everybody understanding me? Praise God. Now, he takes us through the seasons for a purpose, to build us up, to grow us up, to bring us to that place where we can say without a shadow of doubt that he is indeed God over our lives. And you know, God is, he's got a sense of humor, I tell you. I was reading in verse 7. It says, a time to tear and a time to sow. You know, this morning I woke up, got my shirt ready. When I got out of the house this morning, I was wearing a tie. Not on this shirt, please, don't get me wrong. I had a nice tie on. I was wearing a black pair of pants. I got the whole family into the car, screamed at them, yelled at them. They all got into the car. And then I went, I think I was about to lock the door. And I went to climb into the car. The car is quite a high car. And as I pulled my leg with so much force, my pants tore. And I thought, I just said, Jesus is Lord. And I turned around and I went back into the house. And I thought, what am I going to wear now? We have such a limited time to travel from where we live to church. And sorry if you think this is a little bit too lax and too informal. Forgive me. But God has a sense of humor. So that was the time for things to tear. And bless God, when we get home, my wife will be sewing it. So praise God for that. But God, he indeed is, he's a very, very, I tell you, he would, when you're asking for illustrations for your sermon and you're trying to look for life experiences, he gives you one hour before you start preaching and you're wondering, Lord, not that way. But, you know, in his faithfulness and in his mercy, I thank God that happened at home and not here. Because we live, what, 60 kilometers away from here is where we stay, down south, way down south. I mean, some of you have never even been down south. You think you need a passport to get down south. No, you don't. That's where we stay. And if that had happened here, I would have been in big trouble. Because I don't think anybody's as big as me here, right? No. Praise God. Moving on. There is a time for everything. It might be tough. You might think, oh God, why are you taking me through this? Why are you stretching me this hard? Why am I going through this pain, through this sickness or this infirmity or this lack? But God knows in his own time. He makes all things beautiful as well. Amen? He makes all things beautiful. And, you know, as children of God, we need to be sensitive to the times that we're in. The times that God is taking us through in our personal lives, and also the times that we are in as a church, as a nation, even the times in the world, we must be sensitive to those times. We must at all times be in touch with God to know what he is doing and why he's doing what he's doing. Amen? We need the grace of God to sense the time and occasion and events of what God is doing in our lives. You know, the Hebrew word for time is wa'it or wa'eth, which refers to a specific time, an event, or an occasion, which talks about seasons and times in our lives, like as I've explained. There are times that you go through different things. And, you know, there are times in the time in the Bible, in the New Testament, now talks about kairos, which is an opportune time, which is something, there's some conditions that need to happen before something that would impact your life would happen, impact the life of the church or your personal life. And that's the kairos time that the Bible talks about in the New Testament. So there's the Y.S. in the Old Testament, and there's the kairos time in the New Testament. Now, an easy way to explain kairos, which is like an opportune time, let's assume, for instance, you need to catch a flight to Sydney, for instance, Qantas flight to Sydney, and they've told you the flight is going to leave at 7:30 p.m. How many of you know you don't get to the airport at 7:35 p.m.? Because you're going to miss that flight. That kairos moment, that time where you had to meet some certain conditions to get onto that flight, which means you probably have to get to the airport 1 hour before, check in, get your boarding pass, check in your luggage, go through immigration or whatever it is, they have enough time to put your bags on the plane, you sit down, you wait, you get called onto the flight, and you go in. For the flight to leave at 7:30, you had to meet those conditions. You can't come and say, 7:35, I'm going to get onto that flight. No, it's not going to happen. And that's how it is with God. There's the kairos moments in our lives. There's times where God has said, for some things to happen in your life, you had to do some other things with your time. You had to fulfill other conditions. And you know, as a young man growing up, I know there's a call of God on my life in the area of worship, in the area of preaching the word. And I know there's so many conditions that I have to fulfill. There's so many things that I have to do to grab a hold of that my kairos moment. And I dare say, personally for me, I feel I may have missed some of those kairos moments. Okay, please don't get me wrong. I may have been a little bit slack in getting to where God wanted me to be. And, you know, by the grace of God, he's merciful. His gifts and calling are without repentance. And, you know, even though you may miss a 7:30 flight to Sydney, there might always be another one at 10:30 or the very next day. So you can always get another flight. However, you would miss some of the events that should have happened if you got there earlier. If you understand what I'm trying to say, I'm just using that as an illustration. So even if you miss your kairos moments or your kairos opportunities with God, there's always a second chance. Praise God. Amen? Now, I have this question for everybody. What are you spending your time doing today? Oh, well, what do you spend your time doing? What are some of the things that you spend your time doing as a believer or as a child of God or as a person? Now I know why a pastor drinks water, because your mouth gets dry. Praise God. What are you spending your time doing? What are the things or actions that take up your whole day? I mean, I work 7.5 hours a week. Sorry. I wish. 7.5 hours a day I work. Every day, 5 days a week. And that takes up my 7.5 hours. When I signed that contract to work for my employer, I said I was giving him 7.5 hours of my time every day for 5 days a week. And that's what I do. But then the rest of the hours when I get home is my time. And I can do whatever I want with it. Amen? And that's where, as far as I'm concerned, the rubber meets the road. Where you now have to ask yourself, what do you now do with the rest of time you have? You know, We're living in a day where there's so many distractions, so many things that take up our time, so many things that get us distracted from spending time with God, from spending time in prayer and studying the Word. You know, we have so many gadgets. We have iPhones, we have iPads, we have laptops. And you know, in those days, you could have a computer, but it was always at home. Now you have the computers traveling all over the place with you. Now you have these things, all these gadgets moving around with you. And you know, I mean, some of the younger folk here might not understand, but back in the days when I was dating my wife, and she can testify to that, this was 18, 19 years ago when I was dating her. We started dating when I was quite young, and I left Nigeria then to go study in Singapore, and I'm sure I've shared the story before here. And there were mobile phones then, but they were very expensive. There was no such thing as text in 1993, 94. There was no WhatsApps, there was no Facebook, there was no FaceTime, we didn't even have MSN chat that you kids think you can't live without now. In those days, I'll write a letter to my then girlfriend, who is my wife, where is she? She's running away because I'm talking about her. And it would take 4 to 6 weeks for a reply to come back to me. Some of you would have given up. Ah, I'm not going to date her anymore. It's too long. And, you know, I did that for 3 years when I didn't even see her once between that 3 years. Because I couldn't afford to travel back to Nigeria on holidays or anything. So I was there throughout the time I was studying. And I'll write her a letter, and then 4 to 6 weeks for a turnaround for me to get a response back from her. And we did that over the years. I mean, whenever I called her, okay? And this is true fact. If I called her after 10 p.m., on weekends, I think it was, it would cost me $3.33 per minute to speak to her. As a student, sometimes I could only afford 10 minutes. And even that 10 minutes meant I had to skip so many meals to talk to her. And, you know, now you younger folk, you just pick up your phone and you FaceTime or you SMS or you Skype. There's so many options. But what am I trying to say? These very things that have been given to us now to make life easier, to make communication better, are the very things that are distracting us. You go into a restaurant where you're having a meal with your family, and you look to the next table where another family is there, and everybody's on their phones. What kind of family time is that? What kind of fellowship is that with your loved ones? And you know, I mean, in those days, even when I was dating my wife, I remember very well, to try and save money and to get the best out of my letters, I'll record a tape of me saying sweet nothings for about 1 hour, and I'll post that tape to her so she can play it and play it and play it over again. That's how you get good bang for your buck. Funny things like that. But now we have all these gadgets. I tell myself, oh my goodness, if I was dating her now, I'll be so much richer because I wouldn't have spent so much on letters and phone calls and all that. Well, what am I trying to say? The very things that are supposed to help us now to make communication easier, to make life pleasurable, are the very things that are distracting us, are the very things that are taking up our time, are the very things that are stealing our time away from spending time with God. In those days, you could sit down. I mean, you didn't have to watch TV because of all the nonsense on TV, and you could read a book. But now you're on a computer or you're on your iPad or your iPhone. Sometimes you're even watching TV and using them at the same time. So you're multitasking, they call it. But, you know, and you're there with family and everybody's doing the same thing as well. The very things that are supposed to enhance communication are the things that are destroying communication, as far as I'm concerned. And we need to be very careful. If you can just turn to the letter of Apostle Paul to the Ephesians chapter 5, and I think we'll start from verse 15. I plan not to spend too much time preaching this sermon, so that I know some of you are going to go on visiting trips to your relatives and friends. So I don't want to hold you up too much. So we'll be done soon. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's start from verse 14. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And, you know, and it goes on to talk about not being drunk with wine, speaking to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. See then that you work circumspectly, that you work carefully, that you think about what you do, that you make the best use of your time, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Not only the days are evil, the people are evil as well. And we need to see then that we're careful in how we carry ourselves, in how we live our lives, rather than wasting time on things that do not build up, that do not empower, that do not edify. We should channel that time. You know, I think my kids always ask me, trying to pull a riddle or, is it a riddle? Or, you know, I think it's a riddle, that what goes up and never comes down. Can anybody answer that question? What goes up and never comes down? Yes, Abby? Sorry? Your age, praise God. Which also has something to do with time. So you're always going to be growing older, and that's one thing that you can never gain back, time. Once you've lost that time, you can't get it back. And my word to everybody this morning is to please redeem the time that God has blessed us with. You know, we're here one more day on earth, and we must make the best use of that time. We must maximize the use of the time. Just spend time doing things that really matter, that really, really are important, rather than wasting time on things that do not build up, that do not edify, and do not glorify. Now, I just have a few points to take home. And the first one is prioritize your time. Make the best use of it. Spend your time on things that really matter. That's the first point, prioritize your time. And I have, like a phrase that just says, plan your day. I heard a pastor say, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Brother Smoothie and I were at a conference that says, they say those who plan their days, okay, if you sit down and plan your day before you start it, they earn 3 times more than those who don't. I thought, that's very interesting. And I thought, if I start planning my day now, well, 3 times, I want that. Praise God. Those who plan their days, they earn 3 times more than those who don't. You know, it's interesting. My profession at work is project management, which means the university comes and they say they want me to do this, to install so many software and so many computers or whatever it is, and I'm supposed to plan. So how we're going to spend the money, what time we're going to have to do it. It has to be done before a certain time and all that. And a lot of the time I'm planning all these things. But then sometimes I look at my own life and I'm not planning anything. And, you know, that has got me thinking. That's probably even why I started working on this sermon, even before Pastor told me I was going to have to preach, that I need to start planning. I need to start getting down where I'm maximizing the use of my time. And, the older I get, the more I realize, okay, I probably don't have that much longer here. Amen? So even as we prioritize our time, the first sub-point is, we must make sure that we always have time with God. That's the first sub-point. Time with God, time in prayer, time reading His Word, time worshiping Him. Sometimes you can just be listening to somebody else talking about Him, but you must always make time for God. Even in the business of our days, we must always make time for God. Because, like we were singing earlier on, that we give ourselves away. Basically, it's a life that He has already given us. We're just giving back to Him. Amen? But He's given us a choice to do that. We can either say, no, I'm going to hold back on my life. And, it says, so he who loses his life for Him, as in who gives it to God, he gets it all back anyway. So if we make time for God, that is so crucial. That is so important. The second sub point is time for family. And I speak to myself on that point. Switch off that TV if you have to sometimes, just to connect with your kids. You know, in the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to work this out myself. I'm trying to just make the best of it. You know, sometimes you're working, doing some work at home, and your kids come and ask you a question. And, you know, they're asking you, and it's just going through there and coming out. You're not even focusing on anything they're saying. And, you know, the Holy Spirit actually just told me, why don't you just stop and listen to what that girl is saying, or listen to what that young boy is saying, and, if possible, respond to what they're saying. And I've been trying to do that, and it's been a blessing. Because whether I like it or not, those kids are going to grow up one day. They're going to leave home. They're going to get married and go start their own family. So I have that little time to spend with them. And I say the same thing to us here. if we're so busy working, and you know, even after you're finished working, you get back home, make time out for family. Spend that quality time. I mean, if possible, have at least a one-on-one time, even if it's 5 minutes per person in the house. Have that time to spend with each one of them, to at least interface and not just see them as, yeah, they're there. Oh, I saw them. Oh, hi, how are you? And that's it. No. Make time out to spend with each person in your family, because that is very important in the eyes of God. And you know, one thing that the devil is trying to destroy in every country, you name the country, every country, they're trying to, the devil is trying to destroy the family. Which, I mean, if you see successful families, you see successful countries, basically. And the devil is trying to attack that with every agenda you can think of. I mean, they're using Hollywood, they're using the government, they're using laws, they're all this political correctness and all these funny things that we, I mean, it's too much time to even go there. But the family, it's so important. And you as a child of God, please make time out to spend with your family. And of course, the third sub-point is time for ministry. And you know, you minister out of an outflow of the time you've spent with God. You minister out of the time that God has given you His insight, His discernment. He's dropped things in your heart. He's dropped things in your spirit. And we should always make time for that. The next point is we should spend time developing ourselves. And, you know, I am very guilty of that, where I don't always spend time. You know, it's one thing for God to give you a gift and a talent, and it's one thing for you to then maximize the use of that talent. I mean, one thing I've always told myself is God has blessed me with the gift to play instruments, musical instruments. But to get to that next level where I can minister very comfortably with those instruments, I need to make time out. I need to spend time practicing. I need to spend time developing myself. And you know, I mean, it reminds me of this. I was looking at some keyboard tutorial videos on the internet. And the guy was trying to, he's a gospel keyboardist, and he was trying to market his, I think, 12-disc package. It has like 12 discs in it. And he was saying a lot of people have written back to him that isn't there a faster way for him to do? Why does there have to be 12 discs of 2 hours each disc that is going to take so much time to do? That where does he think people are going to get that kind of time to spend to practice and to work on their keyboard skills and all that? And the guy said something which was very interesting, that he basically asked one of the people who made that complaint that, what do you spend your time doing? Oh, when I come back from work, I'm tired, I have a meal, then I sit down and watch the news, and I watch a little bit of TV, blah, 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 and then I eventually go to bed, and that's my whole day. That's, this guy was giving that excuse. So this other guy then responded and said, why would you spend your time watching someone else fulfill their dream when you can be spending your time walking towards your dream? And I thought, wow, that's very interesting. That you spend your time watching somebody on TV who is fulfilling his or her dream when you can be spending time walking on the dream that God has given you. God has told you, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, but you're spending time watching somebody else fulfill his own dream and not working on your own dream. So we should always make that time to develop ourselves. I mean, it could be anything that God has called you to. God could have blessed you or gifted you with different types of talents. I don't know what it is. And I don't know whether it's even something that you do as a day job. I don't know. But whatever it is, you would know for yourself what God would have you spend time to do, or spend time to develop yourself in that area. I guess the same thing happens even for kids as well in school. Don't spend your time on, what's it, Tumblr? And FaceTime and Facebook and all that stuff, when you can be spending time doing your homework or studying a subject that you know is very difficult for you to understand. The same thing applies to that. You know, if you're weak in a particular area, that's the time you need to start building yourself in that area. I mean, I always get that call from God, even to spend time preparing sermons, so that it's not just when I'm called to preach that I have a sermon ready, but I must be ready in and out of season, as the Bible says it. Amen? You guys are very quiet. And you look to the person next to you and say, stop scaring him. You're too serious. They're always like, not smiling or anything. But praise God, I'm going to go on. I'm not going to be intimidated. Praise God. Now, we go through different areas of our life. Now, the second main point is ask God to tell you what time or season you're currently going through. Once you know that He's in control, then you know how to rest in His love and in His power and grace for that time and season. Sometimes, you know, you could be going through a tough time now, and you can't for the life of you explain why is that happening to you. And God maybe just, he may need to just speak to you in that still small voice to tell you, I'm taking you through this so that you can be better at this, or I'm taking you through this so that you can minister in this way, whatever it is, but rest in his love. Ask him, why am I going through this very hard season? Why am I going through this? I mean, it looks like as if somebody has thrown you into a furnace and you're just going to melt. Ask God. And sometimes you can be going through plenty as well. God may, he may be blessing you abundantly for a reason. Maybe to be a blessing to somebody else. Or, I mean, like Brother Timothy shared just now, if everyone would reach one more person, the world would be a happier place, praise God. If we're in an attitude of sharing what God has blessed us with. So let us spend time to ask God, what time or season are we currently going through? And then know how to maximize that time or that season for his glory. Amen? And then now the third point, that he would restore lost time. He would restore any time that we think we have lost. Any time that we think, oh, I missed that boat, or I missed that opportunity, that kairos moment slipped away from me, God will restore it. You know, if you turn, can we just turn to the book of Joel? Joel. Chapter 2. Joel is one of the minor prophets whose book is after Hosea, which is before Amos. Sorry. Joel is after Hosea, and then Joel is also before Amos. Joel. My kids tell me it's Joel, not Joel. Joel. Verse 25. Eh? Sorry. 2:25. Sorry. Is everybody there? So I'll restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You know, sometimes we go through turmoil, we go through times where the devil who's come to steal, to kill, to destroy has come and taken everything from us. The word of the Lord here to Joel, as he was prophesying to the people of, I think it was the people of Judah in this instance, was, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. I think another translation says, I will restore to you the years that the canker worm has stolen. The palmer worm, the caterpillar, whatever they have eaten, whatever they have destroyed, I will restore back to you. Sometimes because of our own faults, we have gone through areas where we missed God's opportunity, God's kairos moment in our lives. God says, I will restore that back to you. But of course, that restoration would only come through true repentance. We turn back to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I goofed it all up. And I come back to you in repentance, knowing fully well that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our faults and blots every transgression away forever. Amen? So, the point, we must prioritize our time. We must ask God, what time and season are we currently going through? And the third one, even lost time can be regained. Even lost time can be replaced. Even we can gain back that time where we think we have missed what God called us to do. Now, in talking about time, I'm sure there's a lot of things and a lot of areas in our lives where we need to fix up some things. We need to make use of the time. And I guess even as I'm speaking to you, that Lord, the Lord God is telling you that there's some areas where time has been an issue, where you have not spent time with him. And I'm sure the Lord is ministering to you. I mean, for me, it's even time to fix up some things that are broken in the house. To clean up some things, or to throw away some more books, or whatever it is. You know, over the last Christmas holiday, I had 3 weeks away from work, and I told myself there's some things in that house I need to get fixed, and the yard needs to be fixed and all that. And I made a list, and I planned, and I called, and they all got done, praise God. Because I had to make use of that time, that downtime that I had from work, and I maximized it. And I guess some of us here, God is telling you, you need to do this. You probably need to call your brother, sister, or your friend. Send a message to that friend that you offended, or go fix that car, or start writing that book that God asked you to write, or start the Bible reading plan that you've always thought about. or throw those old clothes out. Guilty. Or write those sermons that God gave you scriptures and titles for. Or spend time praying for that revival that God has told you you're going to see in your lifetime. Amen? Spend time developing that gift and talent that God has blessed you with. Or spend time praying for that sinner, or that neighbor, or that friend, or that colleague, or that boss, or that whoever that God, that you know God has promised will get saved, as long as someone stands in the gap for him or her. Amen?
Okay, I'm going to work on these things. Oh, there, yes, there. Hard enough. So if, can I just get the ushers to please come and help me? If you have a pen, then you will not need the pen. I mean, well, after you use the pen, you can keep the pen. It's my Chinese New Year present to you. Yes. Yes, well, whoever needs a pen and whoever needs, so if you can just. Can I have the musicians, please? Maybe Daniel. Oh, sorry. If you can just write down one or two things, or three or four. If you want two cards, or if you need three cards or four cards, because your list is very long, please go for it. Does anybody need any more cards? Please don't be shy. You can hide the card from your wife or your husband if you want to. It's between you and God, and just little things that you think that you should do to get a little bit more organized. Just write them and you slip them into your wallet. And of course you tell yourself, you remind yourself later. Just in case it's like you've forgotten and you don't know. Nobody's going to check this list. Nobody's going to come and say, did you write this? Did you write that? It's between you and your maker. And I'm sure I've got two things on my list already that I know I need to work on. Really need to work on the real stuff.
Should be all right.
To all.